Thank you. Thank you and good evening. My name is Matthew Mahaffey, and on behalf of the School of Music and the Oratorio Society of Minnesota, it's my pleasure to welcome you here tonight for the Oratorio, The Three Holy Children, and its first performance since 1886. Something I ask at all concerts is for you to raise your hand if this is your first time seeing either an Oratorio Society or School of Music concert. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here, and we hope you enjoy tonight's show. Okay, next question. Raise your hand if you know what an oratorio is. Okay, good. I don't know if those were the same people that raised their hand or different ones, but... But an oratorio, just a quick history lesson, is essentially music that tells a story, and very much in the same way that an opera might, except we don't do all of the expensive lighting and costumes and staging. So essentially what you're going to hear tonight is very much like an opera, and it is going to tell you a story. It's going to tell you the story of the three holy children, which comes from the book of the Bible in the Old Testament of Daniel, and is for those of you who either watched Veggie Tales as a kid or went to Bible school, you will know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's the story we're going to be telling tonight. Many of you might also be familiar with probably the most famous oratorio, which is Handel's Messiah, which is the piece from which the Hallelujah Chorus comes from. So I'm sure that's a piece that you've heard before. Oratorios were very popular in the 1800s, especially in England, and would have been performed very much by a choir just like ours, a choir of young people and students and also community members, and watched by an audience very much like you. So tonight we're channeling a 19th century audience and kind of entertainment as you're here tonight. You may ask why The Three Holy Children by Charles Stanford hasn't been performed since 1886, and I'll give you a brief background about that, and there's more in your program about this. But at the time, so many oratorios were so popular that so many were being composed, and so every year new ones were presented, and sometimes ones didn't get presented a second time. This one did end up having about three performances, and over time, the materials for the performance of it, such as the violin part or the oboe part, were lost, and therefore the piece was rendered unperformable. And the manuscript of the composer was inherited by his son and was eventually given to the Royal College of Music Library in the late 1930s, where it sat on a shelf until a few years ago we heard about it and called up and said, hey, can we get that? And sure enough, we did. So the story of coming to here, we have to go back about 10 years when the Oratorio Society did a concert called The Music of Downton Abbey. Maybe some of you were there. And for that concert, a friend of mine and a singer at the time named Dave Fielding approached me about helping me to find some of the music for that performance. And we kind of went down some rabbit holes of kind of obscure English music, and we found some things that were in manuscript. We created performing editions of them, and we performed them as part of that concert. That was really fun. And we thought, well, let's keep doing that. And over time, over the last 10 years, we have now edited and created over 150 pieces of music from manuscript. And now this one, The Three Holy Children, is our biggest one to date that we have brought to performance. So Dave is a retired business person, and in his retirement has gone full-time into music, and he lives in Apple Valley and spends a lot of time taking manuscripts that we receive from the Royal College of Music and digitizing them. So I'm going to ask Rose to change up here on our slide here. This is a picture of a page of the manuscript of The Three Holy Children, and you could see all the notes there. Each one of those notes Dave had to enter by hand into a computer. This is one of 360-plus pages of this music. And several months and hundreds of hours later, after we received this, it now looks like this, which is a modern... So this is a movement from the second half, and you could see all the notes that are moving very quickly there. This is actually the part of the story where the furnace is ignited, and you could see all of the flames are even pictorially there in the way the notes move around. So now we have this in a modern notation software. We're able to press some buttons and to do a lot of extra work to create parts for the orchestra to play from that. And that's where we come tonight. It's my pleasure that the University of Minnesota has supported our project, and the University of Libraries Publishing has now created a website where all of these pieces are available open source for performers to access for free worldwide. And we have... And at this point, I should say that I owe a great deal of thanks to the players that you see in front of you who have, in our various rehearsals, helped us correct various errors, of which out of the tens of thousands of notes, there were bound to be a few, and there were very few. But we've been kind of finding them little by little and fixing them. And so we hope that after tonight's performance, this piece is really ready to be performed by anyone. If this kind of is interesting to you, you could look on the back of your program and you could join us for another one of these recreation events this summer as we invite all singers from the community to join us for our summer chorus, where we'll be recreating three pieces by British composer and pupil of Stanford, Samuel Coleridge Taylor. So consider singing with us. A few weeks ago, I woke up and I thought, 1885. And then all of a sudden I was curious as to what happened in 1885 and to put in perspective how long this piece has been silent. So I, of course, went to the source of all things, Wikipedia, to find out what happened in 1885. And I found these interesting tidbits. At the beginning of the year, the Washington Monument was dedicated in Washington, D.C. The Statue of Liberty arrived in New York Harbor, was dedicated a year later, but it arrived there in 1885. Daimler patented the first water-cooled engine, which became the engine for the automobile. So the automobile began in 1885. This one might delight you. Dr. Pepper was served for the first time. there are devotees, I know. Closer to home here on the University of Minnesota campus, the historic buildings on the East Bank that we know as Pillsbury Hall and Nicholson Hall and several others were beginning to be constructed. So that center core of campus was begun in 1885. And perhaps most endearingly, about 300 miles west of here, on the very same weekend that Three Holy Children was premiered in Birmingham, England, Laura Ingalls married Almanzo Wilder. It's been said that art decorates space and that music decorates time. My friend and conductor, Brian Schmidt, likes to refer to the concert hall as a living museum. And when he said that to me a couple weeks ago, it got me thinking that given how famous Stanford was in England as a composer, bringing this piece out of the library and onto the stage is very much akin to if the Louvre were to find a lost Monet from 1885 and then bring it back and put it in the gallery. We're feeling that this is the same type of event where you'll get to hear it over time instead of appreciating it in space. But we are very excited to present to you the Three Holy Children. Two additional things. One is that the organ that you see on the right side of the stage is making its debut, and it has now a recorded sample of the organ from Northrop Auditorium. So the tones you'll hear and feel in the bass there are actually sampled from that instrument, and we're excited for you to experience that. I have to make two additions or corrections to the program, and these are folks who jumped in at the last minute because of cancellations, and one is in the tuba, and that is Gabe Welch. He came in on Tuesday. And the second is the role of the king, which tonight will be sung by Justin Stabell, who when I called him at 5:40 p.m. yesterday, I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Nothing." I said, "Get down here, I need a king." And so he came down here and learned the role in about an hour and then rehearsed us with us last night, and you'll see he is quite regal in his presentation. So thank you so much for being here tonight. I want to thank the choir and the orchestra for going on this journey with us, and most of all, thank you for being here to support live music. I hope you enjoy the Three Holy Children.